While we remain standing, I'd like to offer our scripture lesson for the sermon. I'll be reading to you from Matthew chapter 21, Matthew chapter 21, verses 18 through 25. Please grant this a most sincere hearing, the words of our Lord. Now in the morning, when Jesus returned to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there be any fruit from you." And at once the fig tree withered. And seeing this, the disciples marveled, saying, "How did the fig tree wither at once?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it shall happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your clear word. We thank you for the comfort that is found in your word, as well as the severe words, the warnings. In both the comfort and in the warnings, we are encouraged to turn to you. So by your Holy Spirit, bore out our ears and open our eyes and enliven us to turn to Jesus Christ, to follow him in all faith and faithfulness. Teach us now from your word. Spirit of God, be present among us. We pray this through Jesus our Lord, and amen. You may be seated. That fig tree and this mountain. That fig tree will be withered, cursed, so that it will never produce anything again. This mountain will be cast into the sea. There are significant catastrophic changes on the horizon, and it's almost as if, reading Matthew's gospel, we can hear the approaching hoofbeats. As we are working our way through Matthew's gospel, we keep getting the idea that something is going to happen. The tension is building. It's as if a sound which was once heard quietly, almost in the background, has been increasing in volume. We may be reminded of the soundtrack to a movie, particularly a suspenseful movie where the sounds of the movie prepare us. It's not just the setting, it's not just the characters, it's what's heard. The music, the soundtrack, the score. I think of Jaws. I'm sure most of us are well aware of that deep, repetitive, throbbing, rhythmic, building sound that tells us, the viewers, that the shark is nearby and closing in. John Williams wrote the score, the musical score for Jaws. And John Burlingame, the nation's leading writer on the subject of music for films and television, interviewed John Williams. And from that interview, John Burlingame had this. He wrote this: "Rarely have six basses, eight cellos, four trombones, and a tuba held more power over listeners, especially in a movie theater." Burlingame went on to write, "John Williams' score for Jaws ranks as some of the most terrifying music ever written for the cinema." Steven Spielberg, writing about Jaws in 1975, said, "John Williams has made our movie more adventurous and gripping than I ever thought possible." It's not just the water. It's not just the boat, large or small. It's not just the shark. It was the sound, what we were hearing. There's a soundtrack. The Gospel of Matthew has a soundtrack of what's approaching. That soundtrack is what we are hearing. It's the recurring theme of approaching judgment. Soon after this very passage today, there will be many questions, discussions, debates, and parables. Each one will expose guilt, reveal fruitlessness, and declare judgment. Something's coming. Those sounds which have been in the background have now been increasing in volume and in tempo. And this has been occurring with each step closer to Jerusalem, each step within Jerusalem, and each step in the temple. Something's going to happen. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus has come to Jerusalem. He has entered the temple. He has cleansed the temple. And then he left not just the temple, but the city of Jerusalem for a while. Our soundtrack now will increase in volume, for Jesus is returning to the city. And he will speak to a particular tree, that tree. And he will speak of a certain mountain, this mountain. Chapter 21, verse 18, our passage opens, and it is now morning. Jesus is returning to the city of Jerusalem, and he was hungry. Verse 19, he sees a fig tree, a singular fig tree, one fig tree, a particular fig tree, that fig tree. He is looking for some figs, and he finds only leaves. So Jesus speaks to that fig tree, and he says, "May no fruit come from you ever again." Finished. Ever. And the fig tree obeyed. The fig tree obeyed. The fig tree withered at once. There's no pause. There's no hesitation. Verse 20, and the disciples were amazed at once. How does this happen? The disciples are wondering. They are learning about who Jesus is. He speaks a word, and what he says happens. He did this with a demon and with the sea and now with a tree. It's as if the Creator is among us. The Creator speaks and it happens. And it's almost as if the de-creator is with us. He speaks a word of removal or being undone, and it happens at once. The true word is present. Jesus demonstrates that what he says will happen. Hannah. Hannah's song in 1 Samuel 2, she said this, "He is the one who brings low and exalts." The psalmist in Psalm 75, "But God is the judge. He puts down one and he exalts another." His word is true. Our Lord from this goes on to teach and to encourage faith. Anything we attempt, anything we say is doable as long as it is in line with Jesus' word. Verse 21, Jesus says, he answers their wonderment. He says, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to that tree, that fig tree, but you will also say to this mountain, get up and be thrown into the sea." Now, while there are lessons here about praying confidently, it's very easy to misunderstand this passage if we think that Jesus is teaching that confident, faithful praying is a matter of landscaping. Jesus is not teaching that if you just have enough confidence in your prayers, enough faith without any doubting, you can move trees and level hills. As if there might be something in our way, and we have the ability to simply ask and it will move. Now, I am most thankful that our Lord did not grant many of my prayers from the past. If the Lord would have bound himself to doing whatever I ask, the world would have been messed up a long time ago. Our Lord is saying that our prayers will be powerful, they will be granted as long as they are in line with Jesus' word and his mission. Ask what you will and it will be done. By the way, it is what we do in and with the Lord's Prayer. We are aligning ourselves with the Father's holiness, his sovereignty, his power, his will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Such prayers are world-changing. Now, this will be seen more clearly when we pay attention to the context. Take a look at the context of what's going on here. Jesus is pointing to that lone, particular, singular fig tree. Jesus is removing that which is unfruitful and is no longer needed. What are we to make of this? Now, here it's not just the soundtrack, what are we hearing? We must also pay attention to the setting, to the scene, to the location. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and the fig tree was an emblem for Israel. When Jesus called Nathanael, we heard this in our gospel reading today, he said, looking at Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed. You are a man of Israel. Nathanael said, how do you draw that conclusion? How do you know me? And Jesus said, I saw you under the fig tree. Well, there's something else going on here. The fig tree is an emblem for Israel, but the fig tree is also representative of Israel, especially when things are going well. King Solomon, the kingdom is united. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 24. Solomon had dominion over everything. He had peace on all sides round about. Things are going well. And then 1 Kings 4, 25 says this about the reign of Solomon. So Judah and Israel lived in safety, every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, all the days of Solomon. To have a fig tree, to live under a fig tree, indicated that these were times of plenty and prosperity and peace. To not have a fig tree meant that those things were taken away. They were gone. They were removed, and misery is in its place. Jesus says to that particular fig tree, you're never going to produce fruit again. And the tree withers. The tree, it's final. The purpose for which the tree was there is no longer being fulfilled. You're fruitless. You're gone. The reason that Israel was there is no longer being fulfilled. That's being moved out of the way. An end is coming. That particular fig tree near the temple in Jerusalem was going to wither away and die. That tree was all leafy. It might have looked good, but it was not fruitful. All right? Verse 21 also includes the reference not just to that fig tree, but also to this mountain. Again, location, location, location. This is a reference to the temple. The temple was a chief identity marker for Israel. The temple was built on a mountain. Jesus specifically says this mountain. By the way, it's called the Temple Mount. That will be removed and cast into the sea. Now, we've already seen earlier in Matthew 21 that Jesus disrupted the temple. He entered the temple and cleansed the temple because the temple was not doing what it was supposed to be doing. Jesus' cleansing of the temple was a hint of what's to come for the temple, the destruction of the temple. The temple was marked by unfaithfulness, fruitless or unfruitfulness. Outsiders were neglected. It was not a place of prayer. Remember, Jesus quoted Isaiah 56. This is supposed to be a place of prayer for all nations, for all outsiders. And it's not that. It has become a den of rebels. By the way, the sea biblically represents the Gentiles. Israel is going to be removed. This temple is going to be removed because Jesus is the new temple and he's going to form a new temple out of all of you. And that temple is going to be going out to the Gentiles, out to the nations, out to the sea. By the way, it's interesting to note that the very first confession of Jesus as the Son of God in Matthew's gospel after his crucifixion is by a Gentile. The centurion standing there, truly this was the Son of God. Fig tree and mountain, that tree and this mountain, tree and temple, they're all connected. They have both become fruitless. Neither is doing what they are supposed to do. They will both be removed. So, I have a question for you now to help you understand this in biblical context. When have you ever seen a withered tree in the Bible? Think about that. When have you ever seen a withered tree in the Bible? As you're thinking about that, I'd like to give you a couple of hints. The withered tree that I'm thinking of in the Bible happens to have some proximity to the sea. The withered tree that I'm thinking of in the Bible is in Gentile territory. It's among the nations. Where have you ever seen a withered tree in the Bible? Jonah. Did you get that right? Okay, where'd he go? Jonah was sent to Assyria, capital city of Assyria, Nineveh. Jonah knew that God was merciful to the nations. He went. And after preaching, Jonah went out of the city to watch. The Lord God was merciful to the Ninevites, and the Lord God was merciful to Jonah. The Lord God gave a plant to grow, to cover Jonah and to give him shade. Then the Lord God gave a worm to eat the plant, and it withered and died, providing what it once provided no longer. It's interesting that as we've gone through Matthew's gospel and we've heard the soundtrack building and building and building, earlier in Matthew's gospel, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus and they asked for a sign from heaven. Matthew 16, and you know what Jesus said? You're marked by unbelief. You're marked by fruitlessness. And the only sign that you're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah. That's the sign you're going to get. Later on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus will actually refer to the parable of the fig tree. We are meant to see the fig tree and go, okay, I get it. So there's our passage today, wanting to walk through our Lord's teaching, seeing it in biblical context. J.C. Ryle, commenting on this passage, wrote this. And presently the fig tree withered away. This is an incident almost without parallel in all of our Lord's ministry. There was a heart-searching lesson in that withered fig tree. It preaches a sermon we shall all do well to hear. What is the sermon being preached in this passage? What did you hear? Well, yes, our Lord's words are sure words. The Lord speaks and it happens. Our Lord speaks the word of life, even death, and there is no argument. It happens. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and the disciples rightly marvel. Is that the lesson of the sermon preached? How about this? The Lord calls His own, places His name upon them, and calls them to faithfulness and fruitfulness. Hypocrisy is not countenanced. Leaves without fruit are no more acceptable than clouds without rain, to use the language of Jude. Our Lord said that He has chosen us so that we would be fruitful. John 15. That's why I've called you. That's why I selected you, so that you should bear much fruit and prove to be My disciples. Where is it? If not, Jesus says, He will prune, He will cut. Is that the heart-searching lesson of the fig tree? Faithlessness results in fruitlessness. Our Lord calls us to faith. Let us start there. And by the way, eventually, faithlessness becomes hardened. Fruitlessness becomes hardened. And we see throughout the Bible that what our Lord commonly does is He will give the very sin we are pursuing as the punishment for the sin. Is that the heart-searching message of the sermon? We also see that our Lord provides. The entire story of Scripture is found here. Nothing is surprising our Lord. Everything is marching according to the score, to the script, to what He has purposed. He will call and some will be unfaithful. He will expect and some will be fruitless. But He always remains faithful and fruitful. So let us conclude with this. As we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are supposed to hear His word and to see His ways, and we are supposed to be like those disciples who are filled with wonder and marvel that our Lord speaks and does. He is the Word and He provides. There is something biblically significant about a withered tree of death. There's also something that we are supposed to learn about trees and fruit. We are meant to wonder. We are meant to reflect. The fig tree in our passage was fruitless and died. The one who pronounced the words upon that tree was Himself going to be lifted up on a tree of death and die and bring forth much fruit. As those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, let us tremble at His words and take comfort in His words and trust Him for His provision, for He was lifted up so that all peoples would be drawn to Him. And we have been drawn to Him. Let us now show forth the fruitfulness of following Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we again come to You through Jesus Christ, and we praise You for our union with Him. by your Holy Spirit, cause your words to sink deeply into our hearing and to produce much fruit for the glory of your name. Thank you for the warnings present, for your sure word of warning, as well as your sure word of welcome. May we be found in Christ Jesus more and more, even as your Holy Spirit shapes us and crafts us into his image. We thank you and praise you for your faithfulness, and we pray this in the matchless name of Jesus our King, and amen.